Oh, it's March 7th.
Friday.
Mm-hmm.
A whole lot of snow outside. What is your full name?
Icy Victoria Shahan Sampson. I have a little granddaughter whose name is Victoria.
Where were you born?
In Tucker County, on Piper Mountain. You know where Piper Mountain is. And I only lived up there until I was 6 weeks old. And then we moved to St. George and have lived there ever since.
You know, I interviewed some Shahans over in Elkins. Do you know who they are? They were from Cassidy.
No. Not the kid from, wouldn't know any.
They were very well-educated people, too. Their father was a great believer in books and learning. I was wondering if they were some kin to you somewhere.
Well, they could be, probably. But not very close, I don't think.
You don't have any close kin in Elkins?
No, I don't think so. No. None that I know of.
Well, who was your mother and dad?
Well, my father was Cyrus Walter Shahan, and my mother was Alida Catherine Phillips Shahan.
Okay, Phillips.
Mm-hmm.
There's some Phillipses up at Sugar Land.
Yes, they're her relatives.
They're a real old Sugar Lands family, aren't they?
Oh, yes, yes.
Was that where she was raised?
In the Sugar Land, in that area. And then on up in Mackeyville, up on beyond Sugar Lands into the Mackeyville area.
And who was her mother's people? It'll come to you.
Wait a minute, I know the mother. I know who the mother was, but I can't think who the father was. Yeah, his name was she was a foster child of Jackson Poling, and her mother was Teresa Phillips Poling.
So you moved to St. George when you were just a little somebody, right?
Yeah.
6 months old. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. 6 weeks.
6 weeks old.
We moved in March.
Was there a big family of children?
No, at that time there was just, I had two sisters and myself. There were three of us. And my father had gotten he was a school teacher, and he had gotten the job of rural mail carrier. It started in January, I don't know, remember the exact date, and then he had to go down there and carry the mail around people up on Clover, and we stayed on Piper Mountain until I was 6 weeks old, and then we all moved to St. George.
What year was that?
Well, that's telling my age, isn't it?
Oh,
no, that's okay. That was in 1915.
15.
And he carried the mail then until he retired. And then that was and there were quite a few other children, too.
Then you had brothers born after that?
Uh-huh. Had a sister, also a sister, a brother and a sister, and the rest of were boys.
Did you go to school in St. George?
Oh, yes, yes.
What was that like?
Oh, it was great. And all nine of us attended the St. George Academy in St. George.
That's right, it was an academy, wasn't it?
Well, we didn't call it academy then, but it's called an academy now. It was an academy, but at that time we just called it St. George School. And we all attended there. And then my son, Skipper, did his eight grades there and went to Parsons, to high school. And Alan's children, my brother Alan's children, they attended St. George School, and they also went to Parsons. And my brother David, his children attended school at St. George Grade School, and then they graduated from Parsons High School. Huh. So,
what did you like about it so much?
At the school? Mm-hmm. Oh, I don't know. Oh, I don't know. I guess. I don't know. It was always a two-room school, and then later, they built a new part, and it became a four-room school. And I guess it was seeing the teachers and the children and being with them. We always had to walk to school, but.
Did you go to your dad then?
Oh, no, he had quit teaching and got the rural mail route when I was born.
But you like going to school with all the kids in the community there?
Yeah, I think so. You must have been that. And I don't know. I just thought it was just nice. It was two large rooms downstairs and one large auditorium upstairs. And it was really nice.
Did you have plays in the auditorium?
Oh, yeah. I remember those things.
Christmas plays?
Christmas plays. Always Christmas plays. And and I don't know, maybe other meetings too, perhaps.
Did they have debating societies?
Oh, yes. Yes, they did.
Tell me about that.
I don't know. I don't really know anything about that. But I know my dad was a great debater and very good at it too. But I don't know much. I don't know what they did. I don't know enough about that to go into that.
Was it a big community event where did everybody come to the debates?
Yeah. Oh, yes. Yes. And people from out in the country would come walk in because, it would be a big debate, a big occasion. And they would have socials, pie socials. And people would take a little box or something to eat, a pie or sandwiches or something. Yeah.
And spelling bees, did they have?
No.
Was that a big thing back then?
I don't remember. No, we didn't have spelling bees.
What about dances?
No, we didn't have that.
Or music? Did anybody much play music?
No. Well, when they'd have the programs, the children in school would sing. But, no, I don't recall any. Maybe someone else would, but.
Did your mother sing to you?
Oh, yeah, my father did too.
What did they sing? Do you remember? Real old songs, or?
Yes, yes. Well, I think they were religious songs.
They didn't sing any of the old ballads, or?
No.
Mostly religious songs.
No. No, I don't know any. I don't recall the names of any of the songs.
So you had a pretty contented life there on the river, huh?
Oh, yes. Yes, we did. Yes.
Did you ever see the water very high when you were a child, when you were growing up? Did the river ever get up?
Oh, yeah, it got up. It would get up. It would get up to flood stage, and it would get up to my father's house where we lived. But it never did anything. It never got in the house. It never did any damage at all. It was just a small flood. And that was up where my father lived. For years and years, it never amounted to anything, just a small water. And then down where I lived, down on the riverbank, well, it was kind of, I called it on the riverbank, but it would get up too. And sometimes it would get into the basement, there'd be 6 inches and as much as a foot. At one time it got full. That was that big flood in
1954?
Uh-huh. And, but it had never gotten up on my floors. Never up on my porches. It just filled up the basement that time. And the other times it just got up maybe a few, like maybe a foot. And then when the river would go back down, it just drained right down the where it had come in, and there was nothing. It didn't bother anything at all. But I did learn that I couldn't keep my washing machine and freezer and things like that in the basement, because they had to be moved out when the river would get in there. And I had a coal furnace, and of course, I recall when the river would be up, well, when it would be flood stage, and there'd be a little bit, like maybe 6 inches of water in the basement, I would wade right down through that and fire the furnace. But we finally got rid of the coal furnace and had gas heating.
You like that better? Oh, cleaner?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yes.
And you raised your son there where you
yes,
lived?
Yes. Yes.
So you must have lived in that house for how long?
From 46, let's see, I think 47, 1947.
39 years. 38 years.
I think it was 47. Yeah, 47.
Was that right after you married, you moved there?
No, I lived in Baltimore when I was married. And then my husband died, and my son and I came to my father's. And he lived in St. George. We stayed with him until we got this house and we moved in it.
I see.
And we lived there until it washed away. Or I lived there until it washed away.
What do you remember about last November 4th?
Oh, I tell you, I have good memories. I have good memories before the fourth came. And, one thing, I had gotten new carpeting. And once they had it put down, it had a flaw in it. And when Cups really discovered the flaw, they said they would replace it. Well, that was in October when the first time I got the carpet was in October. Well, they got carpeting to replace it, and they brought that over and started to took up the old. And we're ready to put it down when we open it up, and this new carpet also had a flaw in it. So they called Cups, and Cups said, just roll it back up and bring it back. And that's what they did. And then they got another piece, and they had the day, this November the 5th, two of their workers came over to put down this new carpet. It didn't have any flaw or anything. It just went so well. The rain, it just poured the rain the whole day, and I kept watching the river. I couldn't see any change in it. But anyhow, they put down all the new carpet and loaded up the old and left about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And I sat there and enjoyed my new carpet all by myself. And, I just was so proud and so good to have that new carpet. Now, I had it for a year, the other one, but it had the flaw in it. Well, now I have this new one that's all nice and new. It's the same thing, only it didn't have any flaw in it. And, before dark, I looked out. And I could see the fence posts down along the field. And they each one were sticking out. That was my guideline for how I could tell that the river was all right. And I thought, well, those fence posts are still sticking out. The river's not going to cause any trouble. So whatever, I don't know what, I was eating something and was watching television, and I was sitting there in my favorite chair just enjoying it, eating and watching television. And I heard a knock on my door, and it was my little old nephew, Jack Shahan. And he says, come on, I see, we gotta get out of here. And I said, well, why? And he said, well, the river's right there. And I could look out and I could see it right in the road. And and I said, well, if I have to go, if it's coming, I'll come with you. So I told him we had a canoe under the Norway spruce tree there in the yard. I said, you get that canoe and put it up on the porch. And I said, move my car up by the house. And he did that. And a boy was with him. And I asked Joe if he'd go upstairs and turn the fire out in the bathroom. So Joe did that. And then David and Joe moved the boat, and they moved the car up. And by that time, I said, I'm ready to go. And we looked down in the basement, and there was no water in my basement at that time, not a drop. I guess it had risen so fast that it hadn't had time to seep in there. But anyhow, I just reached in a wardrobe and got a coat, the oldest one I had, and picked up my purse and left. And I went out the front door, locked both my doors, and turned out all the lights, walked down my front steps, out the walk, and on the green grass, and got into his truck. There was no road and no water in my yard. I'm not real sure what time that was, but it had gotten dark. And, well, he backed out. And then he went down through my driveway and up on the street. And he could hardly tell where the highway was. And the boy that was with him kept watching and telling him to go here, or go this way and go that way. And we drove around up through there and got up, got out all right. And we went on up to, up through St. George, and I stopped at my brother's, Allen's, and told him what was happening. And my brother, he couldn't believe it. I said, would you just get in your car and go down there and look? And, well, he did that. And then Jack and Joe and I went on up to David's house. So that was kind of going to be my stopping place. And then Elwin and I sat there and talked a while, and I called people on the telephone. I called the Betty, the girl that lived across the river, and told her where I was, and asked her, I said, are you going to have to get out? And she said she didn't know. She didn't think it was going to bother them over there. We couldn't tell. Couldn't tell what I was going to do. And then, it was Monday night. Monday night football game, and Elwin and I were watching that. Now, it doesn't start until 9 o'clock, does it?
Yeah.
So I must have been up at Elwin's by 9, because we were watching that game. And then about that time, the electric went off, and we couldn't have any water or anything to heat. Water for coffee or any heat or anything. It was kind of warm in the house and we weren't freezing or anything. So, and we didn't have any lights. We did have candles and I don't know, just right away after that, Elwin insisted that I go to bed. So, she got me out a nice, beautiful nightgown, and I put that on, and I went to bed. Went to sleep. Next thing I know, she was trying to get me up and saying that Jack said we had to move again because the water was almost up to that house. Now, you know where the clinic is. That yellow house, that's where she lives. That's where we were. And the water was right up to it backed up in there. The regular river wasn't running down through there, but it had backed up the ditch and was over in the yard. And so we got ready and we went up to Marguerite's up at the Halfens. And Frieda Parsons, Jack went over to get Frieda, and he helped a lot of people, just an awful lot of people get out. But then we went up to Halfens, and then other people started coming. That was the only place for them to go. And there was something like 20 or so people up there, spent the night there. And well, I spent the night up there. Next morning, Jack kept going all night, and he would come in. He wouldn't tell me anything much because they thought it would worry me. But I knew when I'd hear him say something about a house, if it was that bad, it was bad down where I lived too. And the next morning, I wanted him. I insisted that he take me down the street so I could see what was going on. So he did that. We went down the back way, down by Elmer Lipscomb's store and down. And we couldn't get any farther down than Limestone Road. That's where Meniere's lived up on the hill. And we stopped at Meniere's. And I went in there. And at that time, Bill Meniere, and his wife were there, and Alan and Mary were there. And Bill was sitting at the window looking down over the fields, and he says, down there's your house and the trees. So I looked down and saw my house, but it had gotten caught in the trees. If it hadn't have caught in those trees, it would have washed completely away. Also my car. I couldn't see the car from up there, but my car was in front of the house down in the river. Now that was on Tuesday. And at that time, we went back. Jack took me back up to Marguerite's, up to. She had opened some soup that she had made during the summer, and she had they had a stove that they burned wood in. And she kept a pot on that, and when she'd put the soup in the kettle, it would heat. People would eat it. Then she'd open another can and put it in. Anyhow, I ate some of the soup and had some coffee. And then I don't know, somehow or other, we went back down the street again, and that's when I saw my brothers, Alan. Alan, of course, his house had washed down, and he was at his house, and Robert and Donald were there with him, and then that was on Tuesday, and then that Tuesday night I went up to Alita Snyder's, my niece, in Parsons. And I spent that night, Tuesday night, with her. And on Wednesday, my brother Donald Shahan took me to Hagerstown, where I was down there for 2 months. During that time, I become ill. I was in the hospital for 17 days. I couldn't have been treated any better in the hospital or at their house. And I was there for Christmas vacation and all that, when the children came home. And I really enjoyed it, but it wasn't very pleasant to be away. And I really never got to see my house. They didn't want me I never got to go back to it at all. But before Donald and I left on Wednesday, he drove down the road so I could look in and see where it was. And the first thing I heard was that chime, just chiming away. And I don't know how that thing could have clung there all that time. Anyhow, it did. And then I saw the sheet that was off of the twin bed. It was a fitted sheet. I could tell by the flowers that were on. And it was up in that elm tree, just as though someone had hung it up there to dry.
It had been upstairs?
Mm-hmm. In my house. Mm-hmm. And I had 3 bedrooms. I had the twin bed on this side, and the other four-poster one on this side, and mine was in the middle, and they were all destroyed. And my brother and my sister, my brother-in-law and my sister, Juanita, came, and Jim got the chimes and said, I'm going to take that home, because I'll take it home and clean it up and keep it, because someone else will take that, and I'll just take that and save it for her. And Juanita gathered up all the things she could find, which was not very much. This Afghan, she got that someplace. She washed that 8 times after she took it back to her house in Virginia. And And then she made another trip. She made another trip back, and she and her daughter looked the place over real well. But my rings, all my jewelry, everything. I had some of it downstairs and some of it upstairs. We never found any of it from upstairs. And but I remembered where I'd left it downstairs. And everybody that was there never looked. They never found it. But I told, I had a nephew, Philip Shahan. He wanted to look it over and see what was going on and see if he could find anything of any value. And I told him which sink drawer to pull out. The left one, I said, the left top one, pull it out, and then just stick your little fingers down through the mud and feel down through there, and you'll get to those rings. And he did that, and he got my diamond wedding band and my engagement ring and this ring and a golden chain. And that drawer was full of mud right up to the top. But I got that much. But my diamond earrings washed away, my emerald ring, I had amethyst birthstone ring that washed away, and had a pin that came from Portugal that one of my granddaughters had brought.